Mandela, long live. Long live the spirit of Nelson Mandela. Long former state presidents Mbeki, Motlanthe and Zuma. Former deputy president. Former deputy president Phumzile Mlambo Ngcuka. Deputy President of the Republic, David Mabuza. Speaker of the National Assembly, Ms. Baleka Mbete. The Chairperson of the National Council of Provinces, Mayor Modise. Vice Presidents and Prime Ministers, visiting former Presidents and Prime Ministers, Ministers and Deputy Ministers, heads of delegations from sister countries and multilateral organizations, leaders of the Alliance, the SACP, COSATU and SANCO, leaders of the South African political parties, leaders of the African National Congress at national, provincial, regional and branch level who are here, leaders of faith-based organizations, friends, and comrades, fellow South Africans. President Hage Geingob just told me that in 1962 he was in this very stadium playing soccer on this very field where we are burying Mama Mandela. We'd like to thank him for coming back to his stomping ground where he first played soccer here in 1962. We'd also like to thank President Sassou Nguesso for coming all the way from the Congo to be with us, and indeed other heads of government. We gather here to bid farewell to Mamwini Nomzamo Madikizela Mandela, a mother, a grandmother, a great-grandmother, a sister, a great leader, who we have come to refer to as the mother of our nation, whose grandchildren affectionately refer to her as Big Mama. She has been our Big Mama throughout her life. Just as we are burdened by the sorrow of her death, so too are we comforted by the richness and profound meaning of her life. The pain we carry in our hearts cannot be extinguished. Much as this is a painful moment for us, we do not want to be denied our joy in recalling the life of so wondrous a person. We gather here not only to pay our final respects to a great African woman, but to affirm the common humanity that through her life she revealed in us. Her life was dedicated to the unity of the daughters and sons of the African soil. Her life was dedicated to the unity of the oppressed of all nations. In death, she has brought us all together here, from near and far, across many nations, many continents, to mourn, to pay homage, to remember, and to fondly reminisce. In death, she has demonstrated that our many differences are along party political lines, along racial lines, and the numerous disputes we may have are eclipsed by our shared desire to follow her lead in building a just and equitable and caring society. Mama Winnie's life was about service. Service to her people. It was a life of compassion. She chose as her vocation the alleviation of the suffering of others. She trained and worked as one who provides support and care and comfort to those mostly deeply affected by poverty, hunger, and illness. Yet, like many of the great leaders of her generation, she understood that the suffering she endured did not happen on the edges of society. Such suffering actually defined society. She saw for herself the deliberate intent of the apartheid rulers to impoverish the people of this country. Her conscience, her convictions left her with no choice but to get involved and to resist. She felt compelled to join a struggle that was as noble in its purpose as it was perilous in its execution. She felt compelled to speak out when others were rendered silent. She felt compelled to organize, to mobilize, to lead when those who led our people had been sent across the bay to the island, whilst others were forced to flee beyond our borders or were martyred by a state that knew no mercy. She felt compelled to pick up the spear where it had fallen. It was a spear that, throughout the darkest moments of our struggle, she wielded with great courage, unequivocal commitment, and incredible skill. Her formidable will was matched by a keen political sense and a presence that inspired both awe and admiration. As a potent symbol of resistance, as the steadfast bearer of the name Mandela, she was seen by the enemy as a threat to the racist state. She was an African woman who, in her attitude, her words, and her actions, defied the very premise of apartheid ideology and male superiority. Proud, defiant, articulate, she exposed the lie of apartheid. She laid bare the edifice of patriarchy. She challenged the attitudes, norms, practices, social institutions that perpetuated, in ways both brutal and subtle, the inferior status of women. Loudly and without apology, she spoke truth to power. It was those in power who, insecure and fearful, visited upon her the most vindictive, brutal, and callous retribution. Yet through everything, Umama Winnie endured. They could not break her. They could not silence her. After Nelson Mandela was jailed, she said, "They think they have put my husband on an island, that he will be forgotten. They are wrong. The harder they try to silence him, the louder I will become. And she became even more bolder and louder, and her voice was heard. They thought they could banish her to Branford. They miscalculated greatly, because in truth, they sent her to live amongst her people, to share in their trials, to share in their tribulations, their hardships, to share their hopes and aspirations, and to draw courage from their daily struggles against the tyranny of racial subjugation. The enemy expected her to return from Branford diminished, broken, and defeated. They expected her to succumb to the excruciating pressure of years of solitary confinement, harassment, separation, vilification, and everything you could think about is what they threw at her. Instead, she emerged from all these torments, emboldened, driven by a burning desire to give voice to the aspiration of her people, to give them hope, to give them courage, to lead them to freedom. It was not long ago that we celebrated Mama Winnie's 80th birthday, and Julius was there as well. On that occasion, we recited the poem by Maya Angelou, "And Still I Rise." It is only fitting that we should do so again today as we bid farewell to this great woman. For Maya Angelou could easily have written this poem to describe Umama Unomzamo Winnie Madikizela Mandela. Maya Angelou writes, "You may write me down in history with your bitter, twisted lies. You may tread me in the very dirt, but still, like dust, I will rise. Did you want me broken, bowed head and lowered eyes, shoulders falling like teardrops, weakened by my soulful cries? You may shoot me with your words, you may cut me with your eyes, you may kill me with your hatefulness, but still, like air, I will rise. Does my sexiness upset you? Does it come as a surprise that I dance like I've got diamonds at the meeting of my thighs? Out of the hearts of history's shame, I rise. Up from a past that's rooted in pain, I rise. I am a black ocean, leaping and wide, welling and swelling. I bear in the tide, leaving behind nights of terror and fear, but I rise. In a daybreak that's wondrously clear, I do rise, bringing the gifts that my ancestors gave. I am the dream and the hope of the slaves. I rise, I rise, I rise." And this she would have said, because I am Winnie Nomzamo Madikizela Mandela. Like so many of our people, she has lived with fear, with pain, loss, and disappointment. And yet each day, she rose with the nobleness of the human spirit. They sought to denigrate her with bitter and twisted lies, but still she rose. They wanted to see her broken, with bowed head and lowered eyes, and weakened by soulful cries, but still she rose. As we bid a farewell, we are forced to admit that too often, as Umamuwini rose, she rose alone. Too often, we were not there for her as she tried to rise. The day after she died, the ANC top six leaders went to her home to pay our condolences to the family. Ambassador Zenani Mandela, reflecting on her mother's life and overcome by emotion, said, "My mother suffered. She had a very difficult life." Then she burst into tears. That statement and those tears have stayed with me since that day. Zenani's tears revealed Mama Winnie's wounds. It brought to mind the moment when Jesus said to his apostle Thomas, as recorded in the book of John 20:27, "Put your finger here, see my hands, reach out your hand and put it in my side." In essence, Jesus was saying to the apostle, "Touch my wounds." During this period of mourning, many South Africans and indeed many people around the world have been touching Mama Winnie's wounds. It ought to have been done long ago. For she wore the gaping wounds of her people. We should have touched those wounds many years ago. She had been left to tend her wounds on her own for most of her life. Left alone to fend for herself only cost her more pain. But she touched our wounds all the time as a nation. When we lost our loved ones, when people were in pain, overcome with anger, prone to violence, Mama Winnie came to touch our wounds. She bore witness to our suffering. She not only touched our wounds, she also bandaged our wounds. We did not do the same for her. In her book, "Part of My Soul Went With Him," she writes, "I have ceased a long time ago to exist as an individual. The ideals, the political goals that I stand for, those are the ideals and goals of the people in this country. They cannot just forget their own ideas. My private self does not exist. Whatever they do to me, they do to the people in the country. I am and will always be only a political barometer. From every situation I have found myself in, you can read the political hit in the country at a particular time. When they send me into exile, it's not me as an individual they are sending. They think that with me they can also bend the political ideas, but that is a historical impossibility. They will never succeed in doing that. I am of no importance to them as an individual. What I stand for is what they want to banish. I couldn't think of a greater honor." Close quotes. Her healing from the deep wounds inflicted on her was incomplete. must continue as a people to touch Mama's wounds. We must acknowledge her immense pain and torment and pass on the stories of her suffering to future generations so that it may always be known that Umamwini was a giant, that she was a pathfinder, a soldier, a healer, a champion of our people's struggle, and forever the mother of the nation, and yes, indeed, Big Mama of the nation. We must also recognize our own wounds as a nation. We must acknowledge that we are a society that is hurting, damaged by our past, numbed by our present, and hesitant about our future. This may explain why we are so easily prone to anger and to violence. Many people saw Mamwini as their mother because her own wounds made her real and easy to relate to. It is only when you experience real pain yourself that you can recognize it in others and offer comfort and offer healing. We have seen and touched the wounds. It is now time to heal the wounds that we have seen, the wounds that were inflicted on all of us, on Mamwini in the past. And Julius Malema, I will say to you, the wounds that you were talking about, yes, are real wounds, but today is a moment to heal those wounds. Today is a time for healing as we put Mamwini to rest. This is what Mamwini did for decades, particularly when she stood alone as a bulwark against the apartheid regime, when she wiped away people's tears, carried their coffins, inspired young people to carry on with the struggle. Umamwini was a witness to the truths and horrors of our nation, not only because of her own hardships, but because of her courage. Like the women who went to Jesus' tomb after the men ran away, she was perpetually in the trenches, never afraid that it would be too much for her to bear. Yes, as men ran away, she was there, like the women who were there after Jesus was put in the tomb. When it was safe to do so, the men took over again and the women were relegated to a supporting role. And this is what we must stop. Mamwini provided leadership at the most difficult periods and sought no reward. Like women throughout our society do every day, she toiled and never claimed glory. Mamwini is universal and timeless. She is eternal and everlasting. As we continue to touch her wounds, we must be brave enough to share her life and legacies across our society and the people she loved. Shortly before her death, we had a conversation about her concerns, her worries, and her wishes. She spoke of a deep desire for unity and renewal, not only of the movement that she so loved, but also of the nation. She wanted a South African nation that will heal the divisions of the past and eradicate the inequality and injustice of the present. She wanted us to honor the commitment That is set out in the Freedom Charter, that the people shall share in the country's wealth, and that, yes, the land of our country should be shared amongst those who work it, and yes, that it should be returned and expropriated for the benefit of our people as a whole. She spoke many thoughts she had about how the revolutionary ideals and morality of her movement should be restored and not be undermined by corruption and self-enrichment. She wanted us to ensure that we do everything to stop the scourge of the abuse of women and children in our society. Just as Mamuini has united us in sorrow, let us honor her memory by uniting in common purpose. Let us do what she did best, to bandage the wounds of the broken. Let us honor her memory by pledging here that we will dedicate all our resources and all our efforts and our energy to the empowerment of the poor and vulnerable. Let us honor her memory by pledging here that we will not betray the trust of her people, we will not squander or steal their resources, and that we will sell them diligently and selflessly. The mother of the nation is gone. The mother of the nation is still with us all the same. She lives on in the young girl who today still walks in the dusty streets of Embongwe, resolute that her life will not be defined by the poverty into which she was born, nor constrained by the attitudes to women that seek to demean her existence. She lives on in the domestic worker who is determined that the suffering and sacrifice of many years of servitude will not be visited on her children. Umamuini, she lives on in the prisoner who regrets his choices as much as he bemoans his circumstances, who dearly seeks another chance to make a better life for his family. She lives on in the engineer who has defied discrimination and prejudice to build a career for herself in a field so long reserved for the privileged few. Yes, she lives on in the social worker who tends to those in society who are neglected and abused, asking nothing for himself but the opportunity to serve. She lives on in the Palestinian teenager who refuses to stand by as he is stripped of his home, his heritage, and his prospects for a peaceful and content, dignified life. She lives on in the African-American woman who, though she lives in a country of great prosperity and progress, is still weighed down by the accumulated prejudice of generations. She continues to live in the conscience of the apartheid security policeman who has yet to atone for his murderous ways and what he did to her, but whose humanity she sought to salvage and whose dignity she fought to restore. She lives on in the movement to which she dedicated her life as it seeks its way back to the path along which she led it. She lives on in the nation that called her mama, as it strives each day to fulfill its destiny as a united, peaceful, and prosperous and just society. Nomzamo Winnie Madikizela Mandela has died, but she's not gone. She lives on in all of us. She inspires our actions and she will continue to do so. She guides the struggles that we still have to wage. She remains our conscience. Let me conclude on two personal notes and an organizational note. The first is about her beauty. Many people have not commented so much about the beautiful woman that Uma Mwinyi was. Mama, your beauty and your grace was not only apparent to what the father of our nation, Nelson Rolihlahla Mandela, saw in you in 1958. We all, men and women alike, but more especially us men, were in total awe of your breathtaking beauty. And we applaud you for being eternally beautiful. Apart from your beauty, you just simply had the most beautiful soul that our nation has ever seen. And we thank you for your beauty. There is talk of an ambassador who, when he met her for the first time, had a handshake with Uma Mwinyi. He was so fixated on her face and he held on to her hand for a number of minutes, and they had to say, "It's enough, Ambassador, you can move on now." At your 80th birthday, you said you would take me and Julius Malema to Marikana to meet the widows of the departed miners. We could not go because you were not well. You are gone now. I am left to go alone. But I will be guided by your spirit. As you said, and I know that Julius Malema will go with me so that we can go and heal the wounds of the Marikana widows. On an organizational note, I am sorry, Mama, that your organization delayed in according you its honor. I am sorry that we delayed this much to this point and time and moment. As President of the African National Congress, I will be proposing to the National Executive Committee that the ANC should award you the highest honor of our movement and bestow on you isithwalandwe siyaparankwe. Because indeed you are one of those leaders who richly deserve to be awarded siyaparankwe isithwalandwe. We are now collectively setting you off on your last mile to rest, for you have run your race, Mama. Your forebears await you. Uma Diba is waiting to receive you. Uma Albertina Sisulu, Uma Lillian Ngoyi, Helen Joseph, Charlotte Maclerke, Rahima Musa, and Dulcy September, and many others are waiting to welcome you. Comrade Walter Sisulu, Chris Hani, Joe Slovo, Elijah Bahai are ready to open the door for you. Go well, Mama. May your soul rest in eternal peace. Ulale ngoxolo nobantu. Ngutshana, Papa, Makhala Ndlovu. Msutu Sengetwa Kawe Lama Kawe Uhambe Gabuhle, the mother of our nation. Big Mama, rest in peace, and we will forever love you and remember you. Yabulela, thank you very much.